Dear Lord, we certainly thank you for your presence with us, for the love that you've shown us. Lord, we thank you for all that you are in our lives, your mercy and your grace. And we pray to you today, Lord, asking you for another day, for another moment to share with us your mercy and grace, to open up our hearts and our minds and teach us what it is that you want us to know. Anything that's spoken that's not from you, Lord, we pray that it is forgotten. But that which is from you, challenge us and encourage us, Lord. We thank you for your glorious and wonderful love, which we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 17. Hear now God's word. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Jesus was. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hand on her, immediately she stood up straight and began to praise God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman and daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. To properly understand or to properly get into this scripture and what it might be trying to teach us, we have to properly understand a concept in the church that I think is very difficult to understand for us, and that's Sabbath. Now, our Sabbath day in the Christian tradition is, this is one of those pastor questions with the super obvious easy answer, so I'm not trying to trick any of you, probably. What is our Sabbath day? What day of the week is that? Sunday. That's right. The Jewish Sabbath day is Saturday, and oftentimes Catholics celebrate Sabbath on Saturday also. So it's not, you know, perfectly that it's Sunday all the time, but Sunday. So we're celebrating our Sabbath right now. And oftentimes, what we know that means is that when it's Sunday, you come to church on Sunday. And what you do on church on Sunday is you rest, you sit, you listen, you be taught, you sing. Basically, you give that time at church to God. It's a time to rest in God's presence, to rest at the foot of the teacher, not me, but rest at the foot of God, and just kind of surrender ourselves to God's presence. Now, how did Sabbath start? Do you know what the first Sabbath day was? Genesis. So we're going to go all the way back to creation. If you want to, you're welcome to. Open up your pew Bible and we'll read about the first Sabbath day, which we find on page 2. Of your pew Bible, and it's Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. "And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation." Because God rested, we rest. Now, I made a theological leap there. I missed a lot of steps in between that. Because God rested, we rested. Now, why? Now, the important thing is that Genesis chapter 1, God created us, right? How did God create us in Genesis chapter 1? God spoke. That was the act of God's creation. God spoke and then it happened. God spoke and then we were created. But in what way were we created? This is another very important part of this whole story. We were created in God's image. God took God's own self as kind of the template, and in that template created us. We have the attributes of God that God wants us to have. Love, the ability to create ourselves, the need for relationship, or the desire for relationship, and so many other things. We were created in God's image. So as being created in God's image, we try to imitate the one in whose image we were created, God. And so God rested. God created, and after the creation was done, God rested. And so we rest, because our Creator rested. We rest not just to not do anything. That's not the point. Why did God rest? What did God do in God's rest on that seventh day? Did God go up to the heavenly mansion and turn over the heavenly covers and lay in the heavenly down mattress and pull the heavenly covers back over him and go to sleep? We have no indication of that. In fact, what we do have the indication of is in Genesis chapter 3, when after God had created Adam, you know, after that creation of humanity, God then, we have a picture after Adam and Eve had sinned, of God walking in the cool of the day. What did God do after God created in God's rest? God enjoyed God's creation. God saw, hey, look at this world that I created. I think I'm going to have fun. I think I'm going to enjoy it. So he went for a walk. He talked with Adam and Eve. We have indication by Scripture that conversation about the sin that Adam had was not the first conversation that they've had. God talked with Adam and Eve, built up a relationship with them, stopped and smelled the roses. And the geraniums and the daisies and whatever other flowers that you like to smell. I think they all stink, but God enjoyed them. God looked at the animals, tended to the earth. This was God's rest. This was God's enjoyment. And I think our rest and our enjoyment is to be modeled after that. What do we do in rest? Absolutely nothing, no, not really, but our rest that we're supposed to have on the Sabbath day, I believe, is to enjoy God's creation, to have fun and relaxation in what it is that God made. Hang out with friends, enjoy company, go for a hike, be with our family. Enjoy what it is that God has given to us. Not work for it, not build it, not make it, not maintain it, but enjoy it. Resting on the Sabbath day can also be one of the most difficult things that we do. How many of you on your day of rest, whatever day that might be, Sabbath day, here's the picture I see oftentimes of some people on that Sabbath day rest. They come downstairs, they grab the newspaper, they go into the kitchen, they make their pot of coffee. I personally hate coffee, but for the sake of this illustration, we'll say coffee. They grab their cup of coffee, and they stand by the kitchen window looking outside, bring that coffee to their lips, and they sip it, and they look out, and they make a big sigh. They put that cup of coffee down. They go get dressed. They go downstairs to the basement. They pull out the lawnmower and they cut the grass. Because they can't stand to rest when grass needs cut. Or they go and work on the car because they can't stand to rest because the car needs fixed. The fence needs painted. The hundred of other things that can really wait till tomorrow really need to be done today. It's hard to rest. And you know what? Let's blame God for that. Why? Because God created humanity in order to work. How many of you agree with me that the Garden of Eden is paradise? Right? Garden of Eden is paradise. I think it's a very easy thing to agree with, that the Garden of Eden was to be paradise. Now, when I think of paradise, when I imagine it in my mind, oftentimes what comes to mind is the things that I've seen in movies. And I've seen movies try to kind of emulate this idea of the Garden of Eden paradise, where there's this beautiful garden that you have, and someone's laying on a chaise lounge. You know what I mean by a chaise? Just kind of this big couch, you lay back on this lounge, and there's someone there feeding you grapes. Now, obviously, it's your paradise and not their paradise, but someone there, and you got nothing to do, then this is paradise. Adam and Eve was not that way. Garden of Eden was not that way. Adam and Eve didn't do nothing. Adam and Eve worked. Their paradise included work. Adam was to tend to the garden. He was the gardener. He had to be a good steward of that garden, take care of the animals, take care of the plants that needed taken care of. This was his job. But what about this job was paradise? It was fulfilling. It led to a sense of peace and contentment. You ever do something in your life, some sort of job, some sort of work, where you felt really good about yourself while you were doing it and when you were done? It may not be your career, but it might be something else, where you find that you almost always have energy to do it, whatever it is. You look forward to it. This is what I think is part of paradise. We were created to work, not to do nothing. But I think after the fall, after Adam and Eve sinned, this desire to work got corrupted in and of itself, and then the work, for the sake of work, took over our lives. And so the rest became that much more important. We decided we can't rest because there's too much that needs done. But in that rest, we honor God. In that rest, we come closer to God. In that rest, we honor our created image, being created in the image of God by just enjoying what it is that God had given to us for that moment. And sometimes it feels awfully sacrificial. Lord, I really, 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 really want to work on the house. It needs done. And this is the time I have to do it. I just got to get it done. But when we rest in the Spirit of God, we're giving honor to God. We're honoring God in those moments of our lives by saying, Lord, thank you for what you have given me that I can enjoy in this moment. Now, that doesn't mean that you never do any work, but it means that the things that we do, are they things that bring us relaxation? Are they things that we do in the moment to honor God? To thank God for what God has given to us. Now, fast forward to when Jesus now is in the temple, honoring God on the Sabbath day by teaching the people about God's word. And then Jesus looks out amongst the crowd that's with him and sees a woman who is bent over and has been afflicted for the past 18 years. This woman, you notice, does not come to Jesus and say in the middle of his sermon, Lord, help me. No, he stops what he's doing in the midst of his teaching, walks over to her and says, daughter, you're healed. This was not necessarily a moment that dishonored God. This was work that honored God. So sometimes on our day off, sometimes on our moment of rest, something comes up that gives us opportunity to honor God in a way that we had not planned. Sometimes that's annoying because resting is really nice. But when we have an opportunity to honor God by serving another, that's still honoring God. And so I pray that each of us as individuals are able to take the moment and honor God through the spiritual discipline of Sabbath, of setting aside an entire day in order to rest. To rest in God's presence, to rest in God's knowledge, to rest in what God has given to us and enjoy it. To hang out with our family and friends, to rest it in our home, to sit outside in our garden, to till weeds a little bit, if that's what brings you great joy, to water the plants and to thank God for growth, thank God for creation. To sit around and play a game of cards with the kids. To take the dog for a walk around the neighborhood. To rest. And if God should call in the moments of those rest, well, I pray that we honor God and serve God in those surprising moments by helping a friend move, by giving a friend something to eat, by being with a stranger who might need us. And thank God for those moments. Because these are times that we honor God. And I pray that Trinity Church and each person here is about that, honoring God in all that we possibly do. And I thank God for that.